Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Gals and guildies, welcome to episode 26 of The Gamesman, recorded on February 1st, 2010. The Gamesmen are here to play roles. I am Lifelike, assuming the role of your host. With me for episode 26 is probably a couple of guys that you're not expecting, which seems to be the norm as of late. With me here is Simon D.I.
What's up? What's up, Gamesman? What's up, ladies and gentlemen? What's up, Steve, man? How's it going?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Another day we're trying to get a show out here before we get this new format thing going. And maybe later on at the end we can kind of go into that a little bit. But
I'm excited about the guy sitting next to me right here.
Yeah.
I need you to introduce him. I'm excited about this guy.
Also, rubbing elbows with Simon D.I. is... from the Couch Mercenaries, Big Smooth 8.
What's up, people? I'm Big Smooth 8. I'm not really rubbing his elbows. I'm rubbing something else. But you know how it goes.
Those rubber gloves in your bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah, they're actually quite kind of useful right now.
Man, well, what's up, fellas? Man, it's what's good to be on here with all of you guys, man. I mean, once again, you know, we were just on the Couch Mercenaries on your show, Big Smooth, you know, and it was an amazing time, and... Now we're over here on Lifelike Show, man. It's awesome.
I know. I'm stuck talking to you guys again. That's always fun.
Well, it was kind of nuts. I mean, I only got to sit in on the first half of that of your show, which kind of made me angry. But I had to go bowling with my wife and you know some friends of mine, and it was a good time. It still wasn't as fun, I think, as being able to sing the outro of. of episode 97, but it was good and it was wild because I bowled a 155, which was like my high for the night. I mean, it was okay. I was doing all right, but there were some frames that I left open and I was getting pretty jacked at. And my wife has this uncanny ability to drink more alcohol and get better at what she's doing.
I think all women have that talent.
Oh, my.
Wait, are we talking about the same thing here?
In recreational activities.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, I don't think I'm talking about that same thing.
Oh, okay, all right.
So, she ends up bowling a 180.
Oh, my God.
she's a pro star.
If this was Wii Sports Bowling, she'd have a sparkly ball.
Oh.
I mean...
Dude, 180? I'm not going to lie, dude. Full disclosure, I don't think I've ever bowled over a 110.
Well, see, I was strutting around like George Jefferson because I beat her by one pin the first game. And this is what she does. I mean, she starts to drink. She throws better darts. She rolls better balls. It's just crazy. I just don't – I don't get it.
We'll ignore that last thing you said.
I know. I'm holding back.
Let me guess. The first time you beat her by that one pin, was she like, "Oh, don't let me win. Come on, don't take it easy on me." And then next game, she just blew you away.
No, see, her and I were very, very competitive, and she looks over and she goes, "Oh, And just imagine that competitive spirit between her and I. Playing New Super Mario Brothers Wii, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit.
I'm sure there's a lot of friction happening up in there.
You ain't kidding.
Not the good kind.
No. All right, let's get to this featured music, and Simon, you have it.
Yeah. Let's see this. This is from. This is an interesting pick here. All right, so featured music this week comes as a suggestion from listener Denak, which is over at TQCast.com, Kingdom Hearts. The wiki says that Kingdom Hearts is an action role-playing game developed and published by Square Enix. It is a collaboration between Square Enix and Disney Interactive Studios and is under the direction of Tetsuya Nomura, a longtime Square Enix character designer. Cool guy, man. That's a talented guy right there. Kingdom Hearts is a crossover of various Disney settings based in a universe made specifically for the series. Characters from Square Enix's Final Fantasy series make appearances and interact with the player and Disney characters. The series centers around the main character Sora's search for his friends and his encounters with Disney and Final Fantasy characters on their worlds. Dude, amazing crossover. Amazing crossover.
And Amazon never thought it would work well.
No, exactly. The first time I saw it, I'm like, no, what? Mickey Mouse and Cloud and Sephiroth? But Amazon.com lists the game new at around $20 and used for about $10. The first interlude of this episode of the Game Zone will be the famous Dearly Beloved. The second interlude will be Traverse Town, and the outro will be Simple and Clean Planet B Remix.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Denat. Good stuff.
I'll tell you what. Kingdom Hearts is now one of my favorite franchises, and when I saw it, if I could have had some kind of visual indicator, I would have had the biggest WTF over my head that anyone ever had.
You know what? Gothic Mike loves Kingdom Hearts as well, so I personally played it once, and I thought it was okay, but I'm not a Final Fantasy fan in the first place, so I don't care if I'm playing with Goofy or not, because, you know.
Let me ask you guys something. You know, Stitch from Lilo and Stitch is my favorite Disney character of all time. Is he in any Kingdom Hearts?
I want to say, yeah. Was he a summon?
If he is, I will play that game, dude.
I think there was something like that. I want to say, because I'm pretty sure Stitch was in there. But I want to say it was as a summon, and I can't remember if it was one or two.
You know, I never even played Part 2 either. That's one of those PS2 games that
Dude,
I need
2
to
Dude, 2 was
to.
Wacky. I mean, 2 had the whole thing with, like, Sora and Roxas. Roxas was Sora's nobody, and that's why they kind of re-jumbled the letters and put an X in there, because it's Sora with an X. And everybody had their own nobody who was another part of their existence on another plane, and it was... You thought Metal Gear Solid 2 was crazy. I mean, Kingdom Hearts 2 was nuts.
That sounds insane. Dude, some of these Japanese RPGs have the wackiest storylines ever, dude. I remember I tried playing The World Ends With You, and after about an hour of that, man, my head nearly exploded, dude. I just put that game down for good.
I never did try that. I was interested in it, but I don't know. You know what's kind of funny, though? I mean, with all these Western RPGs that we've been playing lately, Final Fantasy 13 is going to be a nice change.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nice change of pace.
I'll pretend you didn't say anything there.
Wait. Smooth, you're not a... You pretty much hate the Final Fantasy series, right?
Yeah.
Well, hate is a big word. It's more like ignoring. I ignore it. You know, it's like it's there, but I really don't pay
despise?
Attention. You know, despise is still a big word. It's more like I don't even give it that time of day to ignore it or to despise it. You know?
So it's what many gamers feel about World of Warcraft or the Nintendo Wii, right? Some people just choose these things and say, you know what? I'll pretend they don't exist.
Yeah.
I'm not saying those are big smooth too. Hey, probably. Hey, but real quick before we move on, Lifelike, is it cool if for the next episode of the Gamesman I recommend The World Ends With You music?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if we can find it, that's no problem.
You can easily find a soundtrack. It's some, you know, I hate most J-pop. But this game has some good stuff, man. It's got, you know, the whole game takes place in, modern day Akihabara, I think. And it's like Avril Lavigne, current day stuff, like for you know, in the United States, but in Tokyo. Like, it's all these, like, up and coming, like, teenage J-pop bands in that game. So that's pretty interesting. You know, like, I don't really care for Japanese culture, but that's a pretty interesting little export they've got.
Simon, it sounds so hot when you talk about it. I mean, Avril Lavigne, J-pop. Yes.
Don't make fun of Avril Lavigne. You guys in Canada sent her to us. that's your export. You can't talk anything bad about her.
Well, yeah,
but I won't lie. I won't lie,
she's
I love her.
She's just a skater boy, right? Or a skater chick or whatever the fuck that's
called. She just wants... Whoops. You know what? After she made Skater Boy, she made me go out and buy a skateboard. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah. Really, huh?
You can't tell me you haven't been burning out around the streets of Paradise City talking about, hey, hey, you! You can't tell me. Don't even give me
when that. When I heard that song on the Burnout Paradise soundtrack, I turned music off in the game. Like, since then, I'm just going to hear my car screeching around the corners. That's it.
Oh, God. All right, let's get on with this email. We have two emails this week, and one is, let's see, the first one, Big Smooth, you have it.
Oh, I have it? Okay, so let me check it out. Let me pull up the show notes. All right, got it. I went to Mag Launch event in London last night. There was 128 players, 64 representing each of the Eurogamer and IGN UK website. The Eurogamer team wiped the floor with the IGN, winning 2-0. No thanks to me, though. I died a lot more than I killed. Too bad to aside, then, I guess. After that, we all teamed up against 128 of Zipper's finest and got ourselves a beating. Well, probably good and proper. Probably. If they made the game, chances are they played it a lot of hours. Chances are they know all the crannies and nookies that they need to hide in there. You're in serious trouble in there.
Yeah.
I somehow think that they may have had a bit more practice than us. Good fun, though. And to top it off, we each got a free copy of the collector's edition of the game.
Ooh, nice.
That is a sweet prize.
Nice. There. Wow.
Now I just have to wait until its official release before I can play it. Oh, that sucks, though. Seriously? You get an early copy, but you can't play it, and you get a sweet collector's edition? That sucks. Maybe I'll see you online. What role will I play? The one of the guys spending most of his time on the ground shooting medic? Oh, shouting, medic? Probably. Simon Kempster, sorry to mess up your email, buddy, but his PSN ID is Kosigan, which I don't have in my friends list, and I think I might have you.
Yeah, let's add him.
Yeah, you're going to have to add him. He's the burnout guru. Now I'm surprised he's moving on to a new game, so maybe, I don't know. He actually made a whole said this before. He actually made a whole new PSN ID just to play Burnout again.
Oh. Hey, is that the guy I joined you guys with the one time? The guy in the UK?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. Cool guy. Nice.
Yeah.
This is really cool of Zipper Interactive, man. I mean,
yeah.
After unmercifully spanking these poor gamers, you know, and embarrassing them in front of 128 people, they said, you know what? Take a recopy of the game so you can get spanked by the rest of the players in the world. that's a nice giveaway.
It's like we just whooped your butt. Here's a copy. Here's a collector's edition because we whooped your butt. Yeah.
And you can play against us anytime. Here's our PSN IDs.
I was going to say, I'd let them whoop me up, too, for a free collector's edition.
Yeah, of course. But they do that on their own because I think you're a version shooter guy, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's funny because I'm not your typical American, which is like, me big meat box, me shoot thing, you know?
Oh, God, can I quote this? Can I keep this audio clip? This is gold right now. Every time Murphy's Law is going to say something about Americans being better, I'll just use this clip from now on.
JSS meat box. Yeah.
This is gold.
I'll tell you what, I could hear Chinny right now, you know, cutting that out.
Filthy American meat boxes.
Yes.
So you guys gonna pick up this mag? Because I'm gonna get it next week, dude. For sure. I'm picking this up.
I might rent it. I don't know. Like, Yoda's talking it up. He's saying a lot of good shit about mag right now, and I might pick it up.
What about you, Lifelike? I know you didn't pick up Modern Warfare 2 because of moral reasons, but this is one you can pick up.
Well, you know, I was semi-interested in it, but I don't know. I might have to rent it first just to see because, like, I got Killzone. I think I got one bronze in Killzone 2, and I traded it in. I hated it.
Oh, man, you got me excited when you said you had it. I was about to say, let's play one of these things.
Yeah, the operative word there was had. I couldn't get if they would have added in Resistance 2 controls, or at least see there's no good reason in this day and age where a control scheme shouldn't be completely customizable.
Yeah, I agree. But I think the thing with resistance, there's two different things. The aiming reticle in Resistance 2 was a lot larger, so you had more of a zoomed-in view, kind of. And I find in Killzone 2, it's further, and you didn't have the kind of the auto-stick. So those were two major factors that made Killzone 2 more of an annoyance to play, because you actually had to be precise on every aim that you did.
Yeah.
So versus the other one, which you had a bigger target, and I found that you did have some form of stick to it. It was a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna have to feel this out, because, you know, to me, ever since Quake 2, I've never found a shooter that stacked up to Quake 2, at least as far as response. And just the way it played, it was so responsive.
But you're talking mouse and keyboard now, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's my problem. Like,
have you tried Halo 1 for the PC with mouse and keyboard?
No, I haven't. But I played Halo 1 on the console, and whoa.
Did any of you play Quake Live when that came out?
I love Quake Live.
Have you tried that all smooth?
No, Quake Live. Well, I tried it once. That's the free browser one, right?
Yeah.
I played it once and I didn't like it because I really don't like the speed of it.
Yeah, yeah. What about you guys play Battlefield Heroes? That's another free browser-based game.
The only thing I don't like about that is you rent the things that you buy. Like, you pay money for it and you only unlock it for a certain amount of time.
Right.
True. Yeah, true.
You know, but
There's an amazing trend of those. Like, I downloaded one called Combat Arms, which is by Nexon.
I've heard that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool, man. You guys should check it out. I mean, it's like similar to SOCOM and Modern Warfare, you know, but the same thing, dude. You have like really lame weapons to start off, but in the game, you know, you could use in-game currency to rent weapons for like a few days, or real money to like rent the weapons for a longer period of time, which, you know, I guess the game is free, so that's cool, but I don't know, man. It's an interesting little scenario there. But yeah, man, there's a lot of I don't know, Steve. I don't know what to recommend to you if Quake 2 was the last good shooter you played. I think you may just be done with shooters.
I know. Well, you know what? I really liked Resistance 2. I enjoyed it because of the you know, the co-op. I sunk a lot of time into co-op, and I think it's because, you know, the game has to have a little bit of auto aim assist on the console. I mean, I can't play without it. I don't know why.
You want to have some form of stick to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just has to feel right. And as far as like Mag, I'm going to have to try it out. But the thing that I'm worried about with Mag is I'm worried that it came out, and then as soon as Battlefield Bad Company 2 comes out, people aren't going to play Mag.
You know what? I was having a similar conversation with Smooth earlier today about, you know, Battlefield, and I don't know, man. I think on PS3, you know, I'm going to pick up Mag, and then I'm going to get Bad Company 2 for the 360, I think, to kind of keep the two communities balanced. Because, a lot, you know, come on, Mag is a PS3 exclusive. I mean, SOCOM Confrontation was full of issues, but people are still playing it a year and a half later because it is a PS3 exclusive, and there's nothing else like it. I mean, on both consoles, there's nothing like Mag. I mean, nothing of that scale, you know. So, I mean, even if Bad Company 2 rocks, it's not 256 players, you know.
Yeah.
You know, my whole thing is I'm still playing Modern Warfare 2. You know, Mag should have waited till the summer or something like that, man.
Oh, by the way, with Modern Warfare 2, did you get your prestige and all that?
No, I'm not going to prestige. I'm staying at 70 and just unlocking everything I could possibly unlock.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to have somewhat of a life outside of that game, you know. Anyways, how about we do this next email, guys? You want to get into this?
Yeah, that's all you, Sam. Good. All
right, cool. Here, well, I'll introduce. This is by WheatDog75, Mike Wheatley. WheatDog75 here with a few questions that I need the expert gamesman help with. All right, that's us. I think that's us.
Except me, minus me, right?
hey, this is my first time. We're all expert games. You know, okay. if Lifelike thinks we're are we official expert gamesmen?
Everyone that listens and talks, and, you know, we're all gamesmen. That's the goal of this community.
So cool. Anyone that's able to listen and talk, is that your definition of this?
Okay. Hey, come on, Smooth. The gamesman community is an elite group.
Whoever does the show or listens to the show, how about that?
Way better.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. Here's the email. So here with a few questions that I need the expert gamesman help with. So I am playing Dragon Age, and I can't seem to pick any locks at all.
Okay, I'll go to sleep right now, right?
Every time I try it, it tells me I'm not skilled enough. Someone in my party says, I can do that for you, but I have no idea how to have them pick the lock for me. I love this game, just haven't played enough to know all the tricks, nor do I have a strategy guide. I love the game, however. I have nowhere near the 65 to 70 hours of play JSS Lifelike has. I don't think anybody does. I have maybe 4 to 5 hours under my belt, but I think the fighting leaves a little bit to be desired. Maybe it's just me, but the fighting and the open world style of Oblivion is so much better.
Agreed. I agree.
Another question. Is it possible to get a party bigger than 4 people? I have had to turn down some people and take the 4 I like the most. You know, my Simon's note here, I hope they're all hot chicks. Any tips or tricks would be wonderful. Come on, Gamesman, hook me up here. If not, you will all die in the next round of Burnout Paradise on the 360. I know it's a long shot, but do you know anyone who has Dragon Age guide, the Dragon Age guide that they wouldn't mind parting with? I will happily provide you my mailing address. Also, any ideas for the next 360 family night? WeedDog75, Mike Wheatley. Man, I don't know, man. I am less than 4 hours in Dragon Age, so Lifelike, you're the only one that could help this young man.
What was the last thing you did? Do you remember?
I'm still in the castle.
Okay,
I'm still getting to know everyone in the castle. I'm still helping. I just helped Nana get the rats out of her kitchen. I don't think I've even seen the intro screen yet.
No, not yet. Not yet. Here's the deal. It's only a 4-person party. Period. Obviously, depending on what class you're playing, like I chose to play as a human noble, which I have more of a fighter mentality, and it seems like it's how I always play my games. But in order to, and I'm pretty sure, yeah, he's playing this on the 360, so
right.
I'm pretty sure that it's left bumper, right bumper to select to cycle through your party members. Also, you have to use that the wheel to select the skills and everything. You will spend more time using that wheel than probably you would like to, because each character can only have 6 actions hotkeyed, and one of them is usually a potion, so that leaves you kind of with 5. So the biggest thing that I can tell you, my advice number one, since there's no achievement linked to the difficulty, is to go into the menu and play it on casual. You are going to have probably 10 times of a better go at it at casual difficulty. And that might even be for you too, Simon. I mean, if you get to the point, the nice thing is you can turn it back and forth. Like, you get to somewhere and you're really struggling, you can turn it down and then turn it back up, which I'm guilty of doing a few times.
Yeah, I like how a lot of games are including that now.
Yeah,
that they let you just switch it on the fly. But yeah, you know, I think I did just normal. Normal. That is the average difficulty, right? The default setting, normal.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm playing it on. And you know, like I said, I haven't even gotten that deep into it. But yeah, that's good to know. I can put it on casual in case it gets a little overwhelming, but I am playing it on PC, so it should be a lot easier, right, to handle all the multitasking.
You'll be able to change the camera angle and be able to look at it almost from a top down, and you can kind of get more of a tactical feel for the battlefield, which is that's the nice thing about the PC version.
Yeah, it looks like a nice little overhead, you know, was it Dungeon Quest or Dungeon
Siege? Yeah, it would look like, it would look like Baldur's Gate or something like, I don't know if you remember Champions of Norrath on the PS2. Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Something like that. But, I mean, at least, like for Mike, what he needs to do is, if you turn it down to casual, as a general rule, on casual, your weapons and equipment don't seem to matter as much. You still want to outfit your guys. You still want to put runes on everything, you know, rune up your weapons and your armor and all that stuff. But I think The trick is, if you're playing it on normal, there were a lot of times where I caught myself playing it almost like an MMO. Like I would switch and slide over to my healer and buffer, like my mage, and I would buff my melee characters up, and plant them, like you can place a flag and you can make sure none of your characters move, then I would run in and take the aggro and then remove the flag, let everybody else run in. So here I'm kind of playing this as I'm playing all facets of a party of an MMO, which is crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, man. There's very few games that let you control all that at that speed of gameplay. That's awesome.
It's insane.
Man.
But definitely. Now, I don't know. I knew that Weed Dog had sent another email about reviews saying that the guide was one of the worst guides ever written and things like that. I have no idea. I didn't use a guide. The only thing I would tell you is I'm pretty sure there's a Dragon Age wiki. Because there's a Mass Effect wiki and all that other stuff, so there almost has to be one. So Google that, and by the same token, it's all about ps3trophies.org or Xbox 360 achievements.org. I want to say it's like the sister site. It's all about that. And maybe even, you know, game facts, game FAQs, FAQS.com. That would be my
That's what I use for everything, man.
I know. As far as ideas for the next 360 family night, Smooth, what do you think?
Oh, dude, just tell them to come over at the Couch Mercenaries, and we got 360 guys all the time. We're pro 360, I guess, on our side, if you want to call it that, right? So whatever you got, we got people playing it on the 360 for sure.
That's like the understatement of the year.
Yeah, seriously. You think? You think so?
Well, once again, I was asking Smooth about this earlier. Like, what's coming out this month, you know, that would be a good 360 multiplayer game? Probably nothing until Bad Company, right?
No, yeah. I guess, and I don't even know that. It's not up my alley.
You know, it's funny, though, because Modern Warfare came out, and we didn't even do a game night with Modern Warfare. We obviously, within our community, we always jumped in games and with each other, but we never really made it official to bring out some new people in there. So it was more of a, yeah, if you're part of our circle of friends, well, we played with each other in games party modes and all that, right? So,
well, I mean, it's kind of fundamentally broken for a game night anyway, isn't it?
I mean, a lot of people are having issues with it. Personally, I never had one issue with it. I think it's fantastic. It depends. It depends if how much of a gamer you are, how much you play of it too, right? Like I personally would probably got about, I don't know, 5-6 hours of multiplayer in there. Where versus Simon on the PS3, you have how many hours?
I don't know, like 40, I think, which is not even a lot compared to a lot of people.
Right, it's not even a lot, but it's still like considerably more than what I got, you know.
Oh, I mean, I can't be the only one that wants to go back to like GoldenEye, one hit kills with pistols, or, you know, I want to make these games and I want to be able to specify what I want to use and what I want to spawn and everything else. I hate this.
Halo 3 was the best for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the only game, right, Smooth, that you can customize that much?
Vegas. Have you ever gotten in a Vegas?
Oh, I played a few rounds of Vegas too, yeah.
Yo, Vegas 2 is serious. Seriously, JSS, have you ever played the Vegas?
No, huh?
Oh, man, it's my all-time favorite shooter. This game is pretty much one-hit kills. Also, Gras 2, Gras 1. If you play multiplayer, it's one-hit kill as well. So you got to be on your toes. It's more of a tactical shooter. You can hide and all that. But
maybe that's something we'll set up, and I'll go run it.
Oh.
I've got both of those.
I'm all over that, too, as well. Those are fantastic games. You can also get them on Games on Demand. Plug for Microsoft.
Yeah, they're purely tactical, man. They're purely tactical.
Well, I have to have a burnout night on the PS3 because I promised Kozigan that we would have one. So that's still in the works.
I
still want to have a Gamesman Gaming Award overall Game of the Year Uncharted 2 night again.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I mean, we play regularly throughout the week a lot. You know, like there's a few of us, like I said on your show, that we get together for drakes and drinks.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the names you gave them, by the way.
And it's a blast, you know?
You know what, man? Uncharted 2, everybody plays that. I mean, Smooth, I don't know. Just in regards to your community, how many people play Uncharted? Is it a lot of people?
A lot of people. Pretty much everyone who has a PS3.
Let's do this right now.
Okay.
All right, let's do this right now. And I'm going to throw this out, and we're going to start here, and we're going to continue it on every show for the next few weeks.
Okay.
I want to shout out, all right? Maybe at the end of February, we'll come up with a date. I want every podcast we're affiliated with
to come up with a five-man team, and I want us to have a podcast tournament for Uncharted 2.
Ooh.
I want five gamesmen. I want five college mercenaries, five overseas connection, five BMI, five TQ, five veteran gamer, all 35. I'm talking 8 or 10 podcasts.
Ooh.
And we will organize that nicely. And I'm saying a tournament, dude. You know, 3 out of 5 games, podcast versus podcast. I'll get the brackets and everything, man. What do you guys say, man? You down for that?
That could be one hell of a tribute to Game of the Year.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, I mean, I'm talking podcast against podcast, all of our crews together, man.
Yeah. I'm down for that.
Now, you guys down for that? For as the Couch Mercenaries leader, uh-huh. Are you going to submit them into this war?
Well, hang on. Can you get Uncharted 2 for the 360?
Come on!
No, I'll try to get a team together. Yes, I want to get a team together.
You know what? I was gonna start a war here and say yes. If you wanted a 4-disc game, you can get it on the 360. But no. You know what? Well, hey, man, I'm not a 360 hater. I love both of my systems, but you guys do have it, yeah?
Yeah.
You could make High Class finally go rent his own.
Yeah, pretty much.
There we go. Kingsman, BMI, and Couch Mercenaries confirmed, man. Oh, beautiful, man. Oh, man. So you guys could recruit your team.
Yeah, I think I can get High Class, D-Bird, maybe Gothic by the time if he gets one. Because he said February, right? So he should be able to get it before then.
And what's good for you guys, Friday?
For us, yeah, it's usually Fridays. Friday.
That'd be fun.
We record Fridays. All right, man.
We'll do it a Friday, man. Oh, this is going to be great.
Even if it's not good, it will be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be good. Dude, I can't wait. I can't wait till BMI wins that. It's going to be amazing.
I don't know. I'm calling a TQ disqualification because I want Danok on my team.
I'm kind of scared, though. You know, hey, man, Couch Mercenaries are kind of the wild card, man, because I've played with you and Excalibur and all those cats. But I don't know. I haven't played with anyone on Couch Mercenaries on PS3 except for Smooth and Yoda.
Yeah.
So this might be a little interesting, man. But all right, man. Well, enough of that. You know, people want to hear the show.
Yeah.
Man,
so. All right. How about some shout-outs? Big Smooth, what about some shout-outs?
Shout-outs to both of you fine gentlemen because you guys decided to show your pretty faces on my show Saturday. We had an amazing time, amazing show. I had a blast. And some great songs came out of that as well. We had some nice vocals.
Wow.
Yeah. So shout out to you guys, definitely. You guys rock. Thanks for coming in.
No problem. Yeah, I had a blast. I just, like I said, I wish I could have stayed.
No, definitely. And a shout out to your guys too. I know you guys are pumping out your shows sporadically here, but you know, shout out to the Gamesman as well, because it's nice to see someone else post something on your site other than JSS Lifelike, huh?
Yeah, Zerub's been putting in work posting stuff. He's been finding a lot of you know, emulations and ROM hacks and stuff like that. That he's really, really big into retro stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's kind of like Big Bad Daddy for us as well, right?
Yeah.
Good.
What else you got?
No, that's pretty much it. That's all. I shouted out the two important people there. There you go.
I'm blushing.
Thank you. Me too.
Simon, what do you got?
Oh, man, I got a lot of people, man. This is going to take about 5 minutes, man.
That's all right.
Okay, so, no, man. No, of course, man, everyone, man. The Gamesman, you know, Couch Mercenaries, Overseas Connection, BMI, TQ, man, freaking old 35s, veteran gamers, thumbsticks, a whole community, man, a whole community. And, of course, you know, my co-host, Pat Preezy, you know, Danok Propaganda, everyone that listens to the Gamesman. You know, you guys, you know, Gamesman, Couch Mercenaries, you guys have a lot of BMI, TQ listeners, man. You know, you guys have big community, man. The community keeps getting bigger and bigger. So shout out to everybody that's listening to this right now. And we hope to have you on a BMI live show one of these days. So, yeah, man, shout out to everybody. Of course, Big Smooth for having us on Saturday.
Yeah.
And to you, Lifelike, for having me on here tonight.
Hey, no problem. It sounded almost like an Excalibur shout-out when he's like, man, shout-out to the globe. Shout-out to the whole planet.
That's about right, yeah. I should have done that.
Well, for me, Simon just saved me a ton of breath by naming all the shows, you know, affiliated. But I will say, you know, check them all out on vghub.net, yes, Velocity Gamers Hub.
Yes, sir.
You can find everything you need there, And like we said a few weeks ago, Duke Scath put up an RSS entry for each show, so you can just get the shows right from there, which is it's pretty awesome. Duke's been putting a lot of work in over there.
That's a beautiful little site there, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little side note, you guys might not know, I sent Duke a fat email of stuff that I said, you might want to look into this. There's like 10 things I put on there. So Duke, if Duke, you're listening again, I'm sorry, because he responded today with saying, I think I can do this, I think I can do that. So it's like, yeah, good job though, Duke, seriously.
There's one person I want to shout out. I think Mr. Dez has a birthday coming up here this week, doesn't he?
You know what?
I saw that on Twitter today.
I believe he does, but I have no idea. That's how good of a friend I am. Yeah. I don't know. Wait, I'll look right now. I'm on Facebook. February 8th. February 8th.
Nice.
Yeah, he's going to be 39.
Oh, man.
I'm just playing. I don't know. It doesn't have his birthday on here, but yeah, February 8th.
I was going to say, he's older than Murph? Oh, shit. No, he's...
Oh, here we go.
Nobody's older than Murph. What are we talking about?
Shit. I want to shout out the guys that sent in emails and, you know, shout out all the listeners. You know, we do appreciate it. And I know that a lot of our listenership, like you said, has come from other sites and hopefully maybe vice versa, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I want to shout you two guys out for coming on and bailing me out. It's everybody has been so busy. Excalibur had minor surgery, and he's kind of out of commission for a little bit. Zerum's kind of out of commission, but he's posting things. And Scotsman is in the middle of a big move, so he moved and he's no internet yet. But everybody's asking where Scotsman is, you know. Because he's become such a staple of the show.
He's actually shoveling my backyard as we speak right now. There's a lot of snow, so I'm putting him to work, you know?
I'm sure he's just thrilled about that.
Oh, he is. He's happy. No, he's taking a nap right now. We're good. Never mind.
All right. Well, I will tell you what. With the shout-outs out of the way, and I appreciate both of your contributions thus far, we will get to interlude number one from Kingdom Hearts and return not to play RPG, but for this week, we're just going to kind of talk about what we're playing. So we will see you in a short bit.
Bye.
We are back, and we're just kind of winging it for this episode of the Gamesman. So we're not going to play RPG. We're saving that for the big comeback episode whenever we get our ducks in a row.
Wait, so I can play RPG. I'll pretend I like RPGs. How's that?
Oh, jeez.
I'm playing a role right there.
I'm kind of disappointed, man. I've always been listening, like, oh man, I'm sure I would do great in a boss battle, and now there's no boss battle.
Okay. Oh, you got. You're gonna have time. I'm gonna get you back on here. We're gonna run you through the ringer.
Wait. I'll create one on the fly for him. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Simon. So pretend you're Microsoft because you love Microsoft so much, right? So pretend you're Major Nelson for a minute, okay?
And, all right.
And it's your turn to do a show for this week's show, okay? So run down a list of what you're gonna talk about, you know, and a whole bunch of interviews lined up. What would you do? You know, you're in Major Nelson's shoes. What are you doing for your podcast? Your next podcast? How's that?
Oh, okay, all right.
Greetings, everyone. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, and I just want to talk about an amazing new video that's coming to the Xbox Live Spotlight. There's a video of me playing Burnout Paradise, holding the controller upside down, something only a Microsoft Xbox 360 wireless controller could do, on sale for $59.99 at any retailer. And of course, there's new gear for your Xbox Live avatars.
Oh.
You can now choose sports jerseys from any team in the AFC.
Wow,
that's all. I can't.
That was pretty good. That was good.
That was good.
I unsubscribed from his podcast faster than I unsubscribed to that fake subscription to Playgirl magazine that Smooth signed up for me even for April Fool's Day.
What do you mean you unsubscribed? I thought you still had it.
Dude, after six issues, I was like, I don't really want this anymore.
If that was me, I think the first thing I would do is I would say, I think I'm going to take off this suit that is airbrushed to look like a t-shirt and jeans.
Yes.
Major Nelson, man. Okay, I don't want to burn bridges, but man, I can't stand that guy.
Well, I mean, face it, he's a suit. You know, I mean,
dude, did you ever follow him on Twitter, dude?
No,
that guy abuses Twitter. I am not kidding. You will see him say, I'm getting on a plane. I can't wait to get on the plane. And literally a minute later, all right, I'm almost at the door of the plane. And the next minute, I see my seat in the distance. This line is long to get to my seat. Like, I'm talking everything, dude. And I do not want to catch him when he's heading to the bathroom.
So you're saying he's your co-host?
Oh, exactly. His fecal journeys quite often.
Out of curiosity, have you guys ever had the reason I'm thinking about that is because Major Nelson has now a female host, Lollipop or whatever her name is.
Lollipop?
Yeah, whatever. Laura Lollipop or something like that.
Is she as hot as Trixie? That's all I want to know.
Oh, Trixie's not hot, bro. You know what? I shouldn't dog Trixie because she gave us a few arcade games to give out to her community like a year ago. But, dude, that's all I got to say. All right? But no, I don't know. The question I wanted to ask you guys, have you guys ever thought about or even had a female host on your show?
We were kind of talking about that.
Do you know any cool guildies that are six?
Here's the thing. Kozigan had sent something in wanting to hear more of Scotsman's wife, who is the one that does the intro for us.
Yeah.
And she's actually reviewing a downloadable independent game for us right now. So what I'm thinking is you know, once she has the review written and everything, I think we might just have her do a segment of her own and maybe her Pyro Lily. Have a Pyro Lily segment maybe every few episodes or something like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Dude, that's great, man. I think that's a great idea, Smooth. I mean, I've had my girlfriend on a few times on recorded ones. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I think if the woman is interested, like, I mean, if she's just like for cameos, like, I think if she's interested in the game, like, that, you know, she's been playing, that's great to have her on as a permanent co-host. Hey, man, if she's a gamer, that's awesome, you know. That's great right there. The only problem is that you're going to run into the people that are, you know, if she's like your girlfriend or your wife, there's a problem there because, you know, especially when you listen to shows like The Couch Mercenaries, everyone's talking about calling each other's wives and, you know, like, hey, I'm at your mom's house and stuff. Like, if I had my girlfriend on the show permanently, I would be afraid of comments like that. Like,
I
loved listening to your show with my pants down, you know, and stuff like that.
God.
You know, because of your co-host, I hope, you know, sorry to be getting inappropriate on you guys, but I'm just saying, that's why, dead serious, like, that's why I don't want my girlfriend on my show, because I feel like I know how I think when I listen to podcasts with, like, hot-sounding girls, and I don't want guys to think about that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to tell you guys. I've experimented with my wife once or twice, and you get a lot of feedback.
Only once or twice?
Once or twice. Shit. But, I mean, experimented with her on the show.
Uh-huh, okay.
Uh-huh, that's what I'm talking about. And it's funny because the side of the coin that you guys might not think about is that a lot of gamers are not necessarily popular with the ladies, so they become kind of friendly towards your wife or your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other side of the coin that I didn't appreciate as much. But, you know, so since then, it's kind of like only if my wife walks in and starts talking and you guys can overhear her over the mic that she'll be on the show type thing.
I mean, I think if you're up front with the whole thing and, you know, you're in, and you know, people know that there's boundaries up front, a lot of the times that can solve most of that.
Yeah, be like, here, I'm going to have my girlfriend on the show, guys. If you enjoy her presence on the show, send me any emails to our email address. But if any emails are addressed to her, I'm going to murder you. You email my wife, you're a dead man.
Simon, you know what I say? I'm like, dude, guys, I'm 6'5", 300 pounds. What? What? Seriously, you want to email her at your own risk?
Yeah, I'll call Yoda the Third on you.
There you go.
Apparently 7 feet tall. That's a perfect head smasher.
7 feet tall, and he's got a gun fetish.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
And he likes six sixpence none the richer. But all right, but yeah, man, I'll definitely have a girl on my show. That's a good question. Hey, but lifelike, I'm looking forward to it, man. If you get wife-like on the show one day, that would be great.
That will probably never happen. Simply because of the fact she hates games, but she'll only play them, like I said, because of her competitive spirit. Like, if she plays with me, that's the only reason she wants to play.
I'll give you a reason why your wife, or let alone any woman, would want to be on the Gamesman, because your co-host Excalibur's PSN name is D's Nuts in Your Mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a fantastic name, by the way.
I'd like to, and I had talked to Juice about this for a while, was, you know, maybe each of us maybe getting on mic and interviewing our significant other about, you know, how they feel and, you know, just maybe doing that as a special something at some point.
Dude, that's an awesome idea for Valentine's Day, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Dude, I don't want to get roasted by my wife on air.
Shit. You'll be like, so, baby, you know, what do you think about games? I think I'm tired of you coming to bed late and ignoring me and not paying attention to me like you used to before we were married. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. Grow up. Stop being a little child and playing these stupid little video games.
No, luckily,
you'll be like, honey, don't you like Peggle?
Dude, do you live here?
Yeah. Do you live here? Yeah. That's probably what I'll get.
No, but you know what? Like, it's funny, like, because I've talked about this before. Like, I bought her Peggle. And we, you know, you get 6 installs when you buy it on the PC. So I put it on the netbook and I put it on the on my PC. So she played it on the netbook, and I'm telling you, gold medal challenges, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. She tore it up.
Damn.
My girlfriend's really pissed because she got really far in crayon physics. And when I did her system restored, it erased all her progress. So she was never forgiven for that. And crayon physics, like, that's an awesome
game. Is that not one of the best indie games ever?
Oh, great game. Definitely. I loved it.
Yeah, man.
Man.
But yeah, hey, we should do that, man. We should talk about that on you know, later.
We'll try to figure it out. Yeah. All right, well, let's kind of get to what we're playing a little bit. Big Smooth, I know that everybody can just download episode 97 and find out what you were playing, but anything the last couple of days since then?
Yeah, actually, Simon's girlfriend.
See, there you go. There you go. Never mind. I'm not doing that girlfriend special anymore.
Well, it's because you're busy with Mass Effect and Dragon Age.
That's
so.
That's true.
Somebody's got to do it.
See, she showed me her crayon physics.
Unamused.
Yeah. I was waiting.
All I had to do is drop a couple of French lines. Come on now.
Yeah. Disappointed.
Oh, Eeyore.
Can't believe you said that.
No, seriously, Simon, you know I'd never steal your woman. You know, I take you for a run or two, but you know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's what I'm concerned about.
Okay, well, no problem. No, seriously, guys.
What have you been playing, man? What have you been playing? What you got?
I've been playing Mass Effect. Mass Effect 2 has been obviously taking up all my time, and since Saturday I haven't really played anything because I've been busy doing stuff for the site and now you talking to you guys, so that's fun.
So nice.
Wow.
So yeah, kind of lame, I know, because you know work got in the way today. Like, seriously, you're like, come on.
Now, doesn't it always?
I know. Like,
seriously, I wake up and I'm like, oh, time to play some games. Oh, I forgot I am work today.
Work. Gotta shower again. Fuck.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I mean, Because
you know, how many times are you gonna make Steve write down the times of your obscenities?
which you don't know, so he doesn't see the time, so he doesn't know when I'm going. So he's gonna have to listen to the whole thing and then erase it.
I'm telling you right now, it's going up with an explicit tag.
I don't know. So I think Smooth just needs to Smooth, why don't you just say 5 bad words and get them out of the way, please? Get it out of your system.
I can't. Every time I swear, I feel bad.
All right, here, I'm going to do it, Steve, if you don't mind. Poo-poo, caca, pee-pee, and butt.
Oh.
You can get all the censoring out of the way at once.
Okay.
Jeez. Oh, at least say something that makes sense, you know?
Just kind of piggybacking off of what you said about taking Simon for a test drive. this is one of the things I forgot to mention on your show the other night was my first digitized homoerotic experience.
Oh yes.
So I know. Hey, do tell.
Yeah.
I want to know. Dragon Age.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Overseas Connections.
Even better.
Oh, man.
Smooth, that was for you.
Thank you.
So Dragon Age, homoerotic experience.
What yes. Well, Zevran. He's the elven rogue party member that you pick up. He's trying to kill you originally. And, you know, you kind of beat him down. And through dialogue. Well, I'll beat it out later on too. What kind of happens is he's like a mercenary and he's sent out to kill you. And at that point, once you best him, you can recruit him for your party. So obviously, you know, when you're playing a role playing game, you take everybody that you can get. And I recruit him, and he's kind of weird, you know,
kind of hot.
No, not terribly.
not like McConaughey hot, you know?
Well,
does he have a beat? Does he have a surfer body?
I'm going to let that go.
Steve, we need details. Come on.
How was he weird? Like, he's shady?
No, he's just kind of like
touchy-feely?
No, he's kind of like wispy and like free-spirited. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
he's those?
Just almost like happy-go-lucky.
Tree huggers. Kind of. Yeah. Tree huggers.
Kind of.
Yeah, oh, hippie. Yeah, he's a hippie.
Okay.
So, as I'm going, you know, I'm trying to bed Liliana the whole time.
Nice, Mike.
And I get to this cutscene with her after, and this is minor spoiler. I get to this cutscene with her where in camp she sings this huge aria, and it was just an amazing cutscene. And it was almost, I think it was kind of like the music from the start screen.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So she sings this whole thing. And here the whole time I'm trying to get her, well, I have her so dedicated to me that, you know, she's willing to follow me anywhere except into my tent. You know, and I'm thinking she's broken.
Uh-oh.
But so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, I got to get an achievement or I got to get a trophy here somewhere. So I've, you know, word on the street about Morrigan is that's the place to go. So. I head over to Morrigan. I do her special quest, and after that, I give her a few things, and I finally get her. I get her, you know, approval so high that she says, "My tent is awful cold," and you know, so I'm pumped. And then I look, and I'm looking at some of the trophies, and I said, "Well, let me save this real quick. Let me see what Zevran does," because I saw that, and I'm like, "I don't know." And I'm talking to him, and. All of a sudden, within like 3 or 4 responses, he's ready to hop into the sack too.
Nice.
with my male warden. So
it's beautiful, man. He's, dude, I want to all giggly, you know.
He hops in, and it's crazy because I'm watching it, and I'm mildly intrigued and disgusted at the same time.
Oh, I can't. So you're kind of looking at it, but not really looking?
Yeah. It's just awkwardly weird, you know?
Right.
And
so it's like he can touch it as long as you don't look at him touching it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't look at my eyes.
So, So it ends up like I see him, and I mean, this dude, he goes reverse cowboy and everything.
So you broke back mountain in. Yeah. You broke back mountain him. All right, got it. So,
did he have nice long braids like most guys in these games do?
He had his hair was slightly long. I don't know if
did he have a Viking helmet, like with Viking horns?
No, it wasn't Flavor Flav, anybody. So. I'm watching this and it's over and he looks at me and he says something like who would have thought you when we met I tried to kill you and now we end up here. Fate is a cruel whore.
What?
And okay. I'm like, all right. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, do I really want to respond here or what's going on? And he says, so what happens next? And I'm like, dude, I'm reloading my last save, and besides that trophy, this shit never happened.
You didn't keep it? So you went through all this disturbed shit, and now you didn't keep it?
For bronze trophy.
Bronze trophy.
Yeah. I'm disappointed.
Man, I'm surprised. What's that? GLAAD, the gay community?
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't complain that it wasn't a gold trophy that you get for doing it.
Do you want to know what the name of the achievement and the trophy is?
Yes.
What's that?
Easy Lover.
Oh.
It is so accurate, it's not even funny.
See, when you started describing the story, I'm like, maybe, okay, you said something about tent, so maybe you slipped in the wrong tent, and whoa, what the hell happened, you know?
Yeah.
but no, you have to seek him out. You have to actually go say, you know what, I want to check you out. Reverse combo.
Yeah, you have to do the dialogue options. Yeah.
When you walked into the tent, did you see the shadow of his cockles dancing in the campfire?
No.
Against the walls of the tent?
All I saw was my warden like laying down, and he was acting like I was a sit and spin.
Oh, my God. So it looked like meatspin.com?
God. Why would you even bring that up? I don't even want that picture in my head.
Well, that's pretty much what you did.
Yeah, well, kind of. So that was my experience there. And it was kind of a funny experience. And Dragon Age, you know, in all seriousness, Dragon Age kind of hit me emotionally in a lot of areas that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, we heard.
Yeah.
It talks to you about your real life persona.
Gee, thanks.
That's right. As long as we don't look him in the eye, he'll swing both ways.
There were a lot of decisions. I mean, and not only like that one, like, you know, that decision just showed what I had to do on a moral basis, like myself. Like, you know, I felt guilty about seeking that out to get that trophy. But by the same time, there was other places where I said, oh, I don't even know what choice to make here. Do I back this guy or do I back this guy? And I mean, there were a few times where I reloaded it and tried different things. And it was just, I did it the first time. Like there was one king that I had to, support. And obviously when I played through and watched the consequences, I backed the wrong guy. So I went and loaded it and did the other way and ended up getting both trophies. But man, I mean, you say what you want about how far Mass Effect 2 is ahead of Dragon Age technically. Dragon Age kind of hit me in a way that few games have.
I look forward to spending some time with it, man. Like I said, I'm only an hour or two in it. Smooth, you're not going to play that game, right?
I have it, but I really didn't get into it for more than, like, I killed those rats, and then I got a bit further in, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, what's this one button thing, and nothing's happening, you just watched a guy. I'm like, hell no, it's not happening.
That is called Neverwinter Nights. That's what that's called.
Yeah, it is called Never Play That Again for me.
Never Smooth.
But no, man, you know, even though we sounded like 10-year-olds when describing that part of the game, I think that is pretty cool, though. That just shows how open-ended the game is and, you know, how many different things you could do, you know?
Yeah, it is. There are a lot of possibilities in a lot of areas. I mean, I think there's probably more intersections in that game than a lot that have come before it.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton.
So, lesson to learn in life is if a man ever wants to kill you or really hates you, there's a possibility that one day you can get him in your tent.
Yeah. Moral of the story is that people change.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about that?
People change?
Yeah. There you go. People change, and there's always time to start over.
That is the BioWare motto right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably actually is. Let's get to something a little bit lighter for me, really quick. New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yes.
My wife and I finished it together, and she spent most of the game outside of the bubble. I was impressed. I mean, cool. Yeah, she was very, very, very adept at playing New Super Mario Brothers Wii, which impressed me. We're actually halfway through the world collecting all of the star coins. We've been doing that together, just kind of sitting down and going through them methodically. But I have some mechanical problems with New Super Mario Brothers Wii as far as the multiplayer goes.
Well, before you start, I will just say somehow I haven't played this game yet.
Oh.
Yeah, that just so you guys just to let you guys know, but I've seen screenshots. I mean, I've seen videos, I've seen screenshots, I've heard everything about this game, but somehow that's the one game that slipped through the cracks of 2009, but go on, life. Like, I just want people to, I just want you guys to know I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Would your girlfriend play with you or no?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, she loves like Mario 3. Like Mario Brothers 3, and I hear this is like a clone, like, yeah. Right? All the same bosses and Koopa kids and all those little bastards. So
it's sort of a mashup of Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo and Super Mario 3. They pretty much take the best elements and roll them into a ball.
Nice. Well, so what are the mechanical problems?
Here's my problem. I realize that it is a staple of the series to pause the screen whenever you get a power up or whenever you get hit and you power down or when you die.
Yeah.
But when you're playing a multiplayer game, if your partner gets a power up or if your partner dies, the screen pauses just for a second. And if you were in the middle of trying to time a jump, you're done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is so annoying. It drives me up a wall.
I know. It's like we talked about this earlier today when we talked to Steven.
Yeah.
You know what? Like I said, it's the GameCube. I mean, the Wii is thinking just to get the game going.
Yeah.
I told you the other night, it hears every word you say.
I know it does. It's evil. Every time I look at it, I want to throw it outside.
Oh, man.
And the other thing that that we had discussed was I thought that what they need to do, and I'm not sure if they will, is, and what I would have done with this edition was, like New Super Mario Brothers Wii Celebration, where after you finish the game with the suits that they intend you to play it with, it unlocks the P-Wing, the Tanuki suit, the frog suit, the cape, the feather. Or the leaf, I mean, which is the raccoon tail and all those kind of things. Like, it unlocks all those things for you to just play around and just have a good time with it.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal. I think that's a great idea. But like we talked, I don't know if they're even thinking about it. I think they want to keep every game separate or, maybe one day we'll see a mashup of all the power-ups, all the popular power-ups we'd like to see in one game.
That would be great. And like I told you was... And I know that this sounds stupid, but they're either really, really for it or they're really, really against it. Like, I don't think there's any straddling the fence on that.
Agreed.
As far as that, I still haven't gotten the Battle of Forli yet, or haven't gotten to it. So I think that about does it for what I've been playing. What about you, Simon? Anything other than Mass Effect?
Well, somewhat. Okay. So pretty much, let me give you a little day-to-day chronological what I've been playing, right? So, on the weekend, all right, any gaming I did over the weekend, purely Mass Effect 2. However, during the day, like, I go to work, Monday through Friday. During my lunch break, I take my PSP to work, and I've been playing Silent Hill Shattered Memories for the PSP, which is, I believe a part of the Wii game.
Yes.
And I haven't played any Silent Hill since part one, and this one's pretty cool, man. A lot of weird, trippy, psychological crap, and... Steve, I know you're going to kill me for this, but I still haven't played Eternal Darkness, but I assume that it's a lot like this game. Like, probably. A lot of mind tricks, and the screen acts crazy, and stuff like that. So I've been playing that on lunch. Then when I get home, I've been playing on my netbook. This game, everyone's been talking about it, Machinarium, you know.
Yeah,
very cool adventure game, old school adventure game with insanely hard puzzles. Definitely pick that up. It's an indie game. It's probably $10 or something like that. And I just Mass Effect, man. I finally sent back via Gamefly two games I've had for 3 months now. Left 4 Dead 2 and Assassin's Creed 2. Left 4 Dead 2, I played it for 10 minutes and didn't find anyone else to play with. So somehow I've had it all this time. And so I finally sent those back. I sent back Bayonetta. I'm not going to play that anymore. I'm tired of that. And I'm currently awaiting Bioshock 2, Dante's Inferno, and, Mag. So that's what I'll be playing hopefully next week. But, just Mass Effect for the most part as well.
Nice. That's a good list, Leo.
That is a good list. Wow.
That's more exciting than me.
I was thinking about... I'm still been thinking about Torchlight because it has that netbook mode.
Yeah, I was. You know what? I was going to mention that. But I haven't played it this week, though, but I was actually going to mention that. I recommended that to some dude that was having Diablo 2 nights with his buddies for some reason, all of, you know, out of nowhere. And I'm like, hey, dude, just forget Diablo 2. Play some Torchlight, you know? And
I wish that it was multiplayer. Or at least like a co-op or something. I would love that.
I know, man. It should have been, but, you know, but it doesn't run too well on the netbook. I mean, I know you have a 2-gig netbook.
Yeah.
Mine is 1-gig, but it still doesn't run that well. But then again, it doesn't even run well on my laptop, you know?
Well, I mean, it's a crap Intel GMA. I think I have a 950 in mine, and that's, ugh.
I don't even know what the hell I am.
Media accelerator, it's bad.
That's cool. Smooth, you should check it out, man. If you like very simple, like, hack and slash stuff like Diablo, man, Torchlight is, it's fun, man. It's a fun little game, you know? Dude, Smooth, let me ask you, are you a cat or dog person?
I got 2 cats, but I had 4 dogs all my life. I had horses, obviously. My parents still have like 10 horses. So,
dude, you say obviously like if all of us have horses. I've never even touched a horse.
You never know.
Man, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
But the reason I ask is because in Torchlight you can have either dog or cat, and you can even you can put magical rings on your cat's paws and have your cat cast fire. Wow. All right, it's like
that's all right.
Cat. I mean, dude, how cool is that? I have 2 cats of my own. If they could cast ice, dude, I'd be set, dude.
Don't all cats do that? Like mine does that shit every day. You know, like, it's fucking it's built in. You know,
I got a dog that casts shit in the hallway once a day.
See, there you go.
Jeez. What about Assassin's Creed 2?
I love that game.
I loved it too. I got it, but Simon, you sent it back.
Well, okay, I did everything except for collect the feathers.
I mean, but you finished it, though?
Oh, yeah. I finished it. I loved it. And the reason I kept it, like, I kept it about 3 weeks after finishing it because I was going to wait for the DLC and just keep it from Gamefly. It was like $35 to keep it.
Yeah.
But, you know, not right now. You know, right now, I'm trying to buy Mass Effect. You know, I'm still renting Mass Effect. I need to buy Mag, all that stuff. And I sent it back just, you know, I'll buy it further down the line. But right now I have no time to play it. But I loved it, man. I love the ending. I was one of the few people that loved part one. And after part one ended and I saw the post-credits scenario, I was like, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait for part two. And I cannot wait for part three, dude. And hopefully Kristen Bell's character will show some nudity in part three because I love it. But I loved it, dude. I love the story. You know, a lot of people, you know, didn't like how it wrapped up, but I loved it, dude. And the only problem with the Battle of Fordley and the, you know, Bonfire of the Vanities is it doesn't look like it goes too much into story. It looks like it's like cool battles and missions, but I wanted more of Ezio's life. Like I want a chapter where, you know, you talk more with Leonardo da Vinci or you know what I'm saying? Like more of the story, more of the dialogue. Yeah. The combat is one of those things that I get through the combat to enjoy the story. Similar to Mass Effect 2. The combat's great, but the dialogue is why I play it, you know, and the story is why I play Assassin's Creed 2. And that's what I wanted more of. So hopefully there'll be some DLC down the line and you know, I'll buy the game again to wrap up all the loose ends. But I love it, man. It was up there for one of the games of the year of 2009 for sure.
Well, believe me, Go ahead, Smooth.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think I said that to you, Steve. It's like Assassin's Creed 2, what they do is that they have a great story potential, but it's like they dangle the carrot in front of your face the whole game long. And then at the end of the game, they drop down the actual story, how it actually should be, and, you know, they give you the whole big picture, and which they should have done earlier in the game. And I think both games are victim of that. Assassin's Creed 1 and 2 are victims of holding out on you the whole time.
I agree in terms of right now we wish we had more of that, but look, okay, part 1 ended on such a cliffhanger, and look how awesome it was to play part 2. And this one ended on a hell of a cliffhanger. So imagine,
yep.
It just sets up part 3 to have more possibilities. So I agree with you. Like, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't beaten it, but man, I wish I could play at least 1 hour into the game after they reveal all that stuff to you, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it opens up your imagination. And, you know, I got the Bloodlines game for PSP, so that'll go into some of Altair's storyline and whatnot. And, to be honest, I wish they would release a book, like the guy that did the Mass Effect books, like Drew Karpyshyn or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they would do a book based on whatever, you know, Altair or Ezio or another character. You know, they need to expand the Assassin's Creed universe, dude. Like, they have such awesome, right? I mean, why can't they have a series of books about a Japanese assassin, one of the Japanese assassins that you went into their tomb in part 2, right? Or like just like Assassin's Creed Chronicles of, you know, some Greek guy or something, you know? That's what they need, is to expand it.
Hey, Steve, did you talk to did you tell Simon about your idea? I know you told me, but
I hadn't told Simon yet, but
he's touching on it.
I'm almost ready to put part 2 of my article series, you know, the what Assassin's Creed 3 could learn from Eternal Darkness part 2.
Right, right.
And part of what you say is, I mean, I don't think that it's going to be in this one, but it'll probably be in the third and final part, is that obviously the present in Assassin's Creed 2 is set in the year 2012. So I don't think that we're going to see 3 until 2012. But if they're smart, they'll release something that is a side story or something, or start a Chronicles thing for after 3 when 3's over. And I got a couple of ideas of where I'm going with this, you know, with this new, with this next article has something to do with involving those 6 assassins that you got the seals for in each of the, tombs.
Right.
A little bit more. And, you know, part of, you know, because we've got that recent revelation that Ezio will be in Assassin's Creed 3.
Well, I didn't hear about that. I heard that he's going to be in that game that's coming out this year that's like a side story.
Now, maybe that will be it then.
Yeah, because there's a game coming out, I believe, later this year that's going to have a multiplayer. It's going to have Ezio, but it's not Assassin's Creed 3. It's Assassin's Creed something, and it's going to be for PS3 and 360, and it's going to have multiplayer, but I don't know what it's going to be, but I think it's just that. I think it's just them expanding the universe.
And that would be a good deal, to expand the universe just to buy some time until 2012. Keep people excited. Because to me, and without spoiling the ending, I think it has a lot to do with a spin on the Mayan calendar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you think about it. So. Yeah.
Okay, check this out. Check this out.
Okay, should we mark spoilers here or no?
No.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, if you've played part 1, you know that this game, the story of this game spans the entire civilization of man, right? So imagine if in this upcoming game that has the multiplayer elements, how cool would it be if the multiplayer had, say, 10 scenarios, you know, kind of like Uncharted 2 has, you know, a few different modes, right? Imagine if this Assassin's Creed multiplayer game had like 10 scenarios and, you know, 5 versus 5 or whatever, simple deathmatch type game or objective based game, but each scenario was a different time period, but they were assassins. So like, imagine one of the multiplayer games would be like a team deathmatch or whatever, or survival type game set in Italy in the time of Ezio. So it would be Ezio and like all his characters. And then imagine like a Roman, like an ancient Roman, mode where you would it would take place in like ancient Rome, and then one that would like take place in the Civil War. You know, because they alluded a lot to like, you know, like freaking what's his name? The freaking British Prime Minister during World War II. Why is his name escaping me? Oh, Churchill. Like they had Churchill in one of the like truth segments and whatnot.
Henry
like,
Ford and
And imagine
Nikola
like
Tesla and things like that. Yeah.
Imagine if one of those gameplay modes would be you play as Templars versus Assassins during World War II. Imagine, you know what I'm saying? Like that would be like that's what I'm talking about. That's what they need to do is something that lets you play little bits of these other assassins' backstories, but not a fully fledged game. Because somehow I feel like Assassin's Creed 3 is going to take place all in current day.
That's part of what I was kind of getting at with the first part of the article. Let me pull it up here real quick.
You know, I saw the title. I saw the post, but I did not read it. To be honest with you.
Let's see.
I was going to. I swear.
Let me get it. Because, like I said, I'm almost done reading it. And in the first part, you know, rule number one for me was to use the established mythos of the series to its fullest potential. And what I had said was like true to the franchise and in many ways similar to Eternal Darkness, gameplay must remain tied to two different eras at all times. So obviously, if that's going to happen, present day will always be present day. But I'm wondering if there's going to be some kind of way that Desmond – what if every one of these assassins are relatives of his?
I wonder.
Aren't they blood-related though in the first place for the DNA to match? And
exactly.
Right.
And what they say was that Altair traveled abroad for a while after – after Assassin's Creed.
Oh, and that's how there's like an Asian.
That's what I'm thinking. He spent some time in Mongolia and things like that. So I'm wondering if maybe he has more DNA encoded memories than you think.
That'd be cool to. That'd be nice to find out.
But I have all this story in my head, and I'm hoping I can just wrap it up in two more editions of that article. I hate to keep the post too long because then people just look at text and they're like, oh, okay. It's a whole lot of reading.
We need point form. We need bullets. We need
points. Yeah.
Dude, just record it. Just record yourself. Make them release them as like 10-minute podcast.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking at some point I want to do that, but I just don't want to do it anytime soon because people are actually kind of just getting to it now. A lot of people are.
Hey, well, if you end up doing an Assassin's Creed, what will the future hold? I'll gladly join you on that.
That
if it's all
good.
About that. Smooth, you got to join us on that, too. I know you're a big fan of the game.
You guys playing anything else? Anything else you wanted to get out there?
PlayStation Home? I've been spending time out there. Seriously.
Well, let me tell you what's on my plate right now. I got No More Heroes 2 that's on my plate right now. High class. High class just dropped it off for me here. I got Just Dance for the Wii for my wife. I hope she's gonna like it.
Dude, those commercials look so stupid, dude. I want to kill every one of those commercials dancing. They're all dumb.
I know. So I want to be one of those dumb guys, so I'll probably film it for you guys or something. So, and then I also have My Fitness Coach 2. My wife wanted that one, so I kind of picked it up for her. It's a exercise and nutrition kind of game, so I don't know how that's going to turn out.
It might be neat to try.
I hope she asked you for that game, because you don't want to be like, here, honey, here's a game that will help you lose weight.
No. I've been married for a few years. I know how to deal with this.
Okay. Because that's right. Asking for trouble.
Asking for a butt whooping, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
You're either happy or married, right?
That's right.
One of the two.
Happy wife is a happy life.
That is true.
I'm interested. Keep me posted on No More Heroes 2. I'm interested.
I'm actually going to play this after we're done.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, I don't have anything else. So what we will do is we will let you guys listen to the second interlude from Kingdom Hearts. And we're going to come back to just do a little bit of self-promo and wrap the whole show up. So we will be right back. All right, we are back, and it is time to wrap this whole thing up. So what I want from you guys, each of you, is just to talk about your site a little bit and just kind of tell people. I mean, most of the listeners are familiar with you, but, I mean, if this happens to get into the hands of a few that are unfamiliar, maybe that can help them locate you on the World Wide Web. So, Big Smooth, go ahead.
Okay, well, my site's called thecouchmercenaries.com. And you can find us, just type in couchmercenaries.com and you'll find us. It's basically a fan site about Simon D.I. That's basically what it is. It's all the pictures you want to see, all the pictures you imagine in your head. We have them. It's all there. Right, Simon? Yeah.
Check out my new Dragon Age photo shoot, similar to what Steve was talking about a little earlier. We went to where did we go to in that tent out in the outskirts of Quebec, I think, and he took me to that. It was in the Great White North. That's all I know. And I had some big fur boots. No, but yeah, man, Couch Mercenaries, man. I love that site. Tell us more.
Nah, seriously, we just basically, well, obviously we love video games. We talk about video games kind of like you guys do. The only difference is we're pro 360 more than anything else. Although our logo, it says we play games, not consoles. So
yeah, I get a chuckle out of that every time.
I know. But it's because I guess the community we came from was 360, and we just went from there. And all of us have PS3s, and we talk about all the games that we play, and we try to get a hands on. Obviously, we have a podcast as well as you guys. We featured on it. You were on the show last weekend and stuff. So I don't know. I never really described my website to anyone, to be honest with you guys. I'm more like, yeah, it's a website about video games. Check it out. And there's also a podcast. We do it every week. So check it out, you know. So.
And you're approaching episode 100.
Yeah, you guys are getting there.
Yeah. That's the fun part, right? We're actually over 100 if you count all the unofficial shows that we've done. But the official 100 is coming out February 20th. And if you're interested in winning some prizes and something like that, start participating in the community. And there's going to be some stuff happening on show 100. I'm going to be giving away some stuff.
Whoa.
I'll be there.
Whoa.
I don't know what exactly it, but I'm pretty sure I can safely say that one item is going to be Mass Effect 2.
Whoa. Oh, there you go.
So, just keep an eye on our boards and stuff. I'll start announcing what I'm going to get for listeners.
Sweet.
Awesome, man.
I want to sometime soon. I want to get you guys together on a Saturday night and do a Mercs Gamesman joint live show on Ustream or something.
That'll be a great show. That'll be awesome.
Check with your boys and see what they think of that.
Oh, you know they're all for it. You know.
I know.
Yeah, so don't worry about me. You don't need to be in my ear.
No, Simon, you got an open invitation on this show anytime you want it.
Sorry. That's right. And you can do the Meat Spin podcast if you want.
Hey, well, don't forget the Overseas Connection.
Oh, all right. Same thing, huh?
That's the official Meat
Spin. Yeah, right. Ditto for them.
Right.
We also, that's right, I should say that we should point out that we have two podcasts on the site. We have ours, which comes out every Sunday, and the Overseas Connection is the second one, which is hosted by Murphy's Law, Chinny 1985, and Big Bad Daddy. So two guys from the UK, one US, one guy from the US, and it just gives us a different perspective, different taste, a different feel for our listeners. So you got the madness that we have every Sunday night. Every Sunday you can get it every Sunday. Then you have the Compose show on every Wednesday.
Yeah,
that's pretty much how I would describe it.
Cool, Simon. Good pimp BMI TV.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So it's BMITV.com. That's the Black Market International, and we're going through a little site revamp ourselves, but pretty much it's me and Patrick Pryor, you know, Pat Prezi. We broadcast live from Chicago every 2 weeks. We're on a little hiatus at the moment, but pretty soon we'll start broadcasting again. And on the side, you know, we do a lot of video content. We're pretty much pushing to do all exclusively video content. And so just check it out, BMITV.com, and you can see a lot of videos of gaming stuff, and we're trying to get some music stuff in there too. We're trying to get to the point where, you know, maybe get some artist interviews and whatnot, you know, since, hey man, the record industry is pretty much all but dead at this point. And, you know, now the artists are moving into the digital age, you know, we'll try to, you know, kind of bring them into the online culture and whatnot. So
whatever happened to Bangs 8? Did you ever get a hold of Bangs 8?
And he, you know what? My co-host, Pat Prezi, was trying to make a beat for him. You know, he does beats, and he declined. And after that, his popularity, you know, plummeted down. So, you know, he should have worked with BMI TV, man. But
he should have.
And yeah, BMI, as well as Couch Mercenaries and Overseas Connection and Gamesman, are all on VGHub.net, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Know. Yes.
So yeah. That's all. That's Black Market International, baby.
Yeah. And you know my post a week or so ago about, you know, kind of taking a step back and reforming the site. I had underestimated how difficult a weekly show can be.
Oh, right.
And we're gonna go to a bi-weekly format every other week. And what we're going to try to do is, you know, Simon, we're going to try to go opposite you guys.
Yeah, right.
So that way, you know, everybody that listens to everything on Velocity Gamers Hub, they'll still have their weekly shows. They'll have their Couch Mercenaries, their Overseas Connection, their TQ, you know, their Veteran Gamers and Thumbsticks and everything. But, you know, at least this way, every other week, there'll be content for somebody every week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every day, almost.
Yeah. I mean, it is getting that way, which is kind of nice.
Yeah. It's definitely not easy to do a show every week, and I have to applaud you guys because I don't know. I know, Simon, sometimes you have Pat Prezi join you and stuff, which makes it easier. But I know in my case, my boys come over every Saturday, so it's like a party here.
Like, yeah.
But when you don't have people actually coming over to your house and to record a show every weekend, it's not easy to do a show for sure.
Oh, the logistics are a nightmare sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think what we're going to do is replace it with a maybe a game night every other week on the off weeks or something.
That's
so,
a great idea.
Yeah, you know, we're thinking about that because, I mean, you know, the more maybe people can't hear you recorded, but maybe they can hear you over the headset live, which is kind of cool. So, you know, we're going to try to get something together. And like I said, I've talked to the fellas and, you know, everybody seems to be on board, and you know we're just going to kind of take a step back and reform, and you know come at this head on with a little bit better of a perspective.
And you said quality versus quantity, right?
Exactly. Right. And I had felt that, you know, for a few weeks, or you know the last couple of weeks, that you know the show was kind of forced, and it's, you know, it's just kind of okay, let's get this done. And if you're doing that, there's no point in doing it.
Oh yeah.
And so because it's just no fun to listen to.
Yeah, someone told me a while ago. I mean, I used to do a podcast before BMI, you know, with my brother, and I was telling this guy, you know, he was another podcaster. I'll just shout him out. He was, you know, him smooth, Josh Bicknell from Critical Strike podcast. You know, he told me one time. He goes, you know, once it stops being fun, don't do it anymore. And I was getting to the point where I was like, oh, I have to do the show today. And at that point, you know, you have to just take a step back and say, just let me stop doing it. And
yeah.
But the reason I say this and I stress this is that all of our podcasts, we have an amazing time every time. None of us force it out, and it's easy to tell by the energy in our show. So anyone listening right now that heard me just say that, that's why our shows are still on the air, because we have a great time doing it. And actually, let me throw one thing out there, Steve, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Anyone listening right now, and you know, I listen to so many podcasts every day. You know, anyone listening that doesn't podcast themselves, if you want to get into this, man, if you want to get into podcasting, let any of us know, man. Let Smooth know, let Lifelike know, let me know. And we'll help you out, man, because there's nothing that we want more than our community to enjoy what we're doing, you know, as entertainment, and to enjoy what we're doing as peers. You know, I mean, look, Smooth, I mean, you told me the story of how Couch Mercenaries got started, and you guys started as fans of another site, and then you said, you know what, we like what they're doing, let's do it too. And you know, I think I just want to, you know, put that out there, an open invitation to anyone that wants to get started in this quote unquote industry, you know, without pay, of course, but you know, anyone to get started in this. And hey, let us know, man, because we would promote the hell out of any of your guys' podcasts if you decided to.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. And you know, plus the other thing that I think about is, you know, wouldn't it be nice to end up with a site where, you know, like maybe you have an A team and a B team, and you know, well,
that's what we're doing right now. What are you talking about?
And I mean, like one week would be the one team, and the next week would be the other team, and it kind of gives everybody a little bit of breathing room and things like that. You know, and it's something that until you've done it, you don't realize how much goes into it.
So true.
You know,
but hey, like I was telling Smooth the other day, once you hit that publish button, that is the greatest feeling you'll have all day.
It is. Yep. It is.
Yeah, because then you can sit back and just go like, I'm done. I can relax now.
Yeah, time to get the feedback.
You know? Yeah. And I want to have, I want to have listeners on too as well. Like, you know, how I had to knock on a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and plus, you know, I want to have Yoda on pretty soon. I'd like to have him on, and. Beards is making a return trip home, so him and Beards and Beer, I think we're all going to get together at the local, you know, it's like a small type of like Chuck E. Cheese's, and I think we're going to do a show from there, have a nice little skee ball tournament on the break, and
two haggard looking dudes called Beards and Beer yeah. hanging out at a Chuck E. Cheese. That doesn't sound creepy at all.
I know. It's like an episode of Family Guy waiting to happen.
Oh man, that's all right. Man. We're all behind you, you know, Steve, yeah. And we're all family here. So whatever you do with games, man, yeah, and you need help, you know, we got you. And you know,
I'm all behind you guys, like I was behind Zevran.
Well, never mind. Yeah, if you need someone to sit and spin, we could sit and spin. Hey, lastly, how about this, guys? How about this for the tournament we mentioned earlier, the ultimate podcast tournament? How about this? How about the last Friday of this month, Friday the 26th?
That sounds like a pretty good date.
Yeah,
as long as it's nowhere around Valentine's Day, we're doing good.
Yeah, let's just throw it out there. What do you say, Smooth? That sound good?
That sounds good to me.
Last Friday of the month. And you know what? I'm going to reach out to the Fanboys podcast tonight and see if they want in.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right, guys. Hey, this was an amazing time, man.
Yeah, I had fun. I was glad to finally get you on, Simon. And thanks for coming, Smooth. Appreciate it.
No problem.
A couple of things I just want to get out there, like we always say, is you know, iTunes reviews. And, you know, if you want to get a hold of the show, you can email us at thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com. Email us like Kozigan and WeedDog75 did. I mean, we love to hear from you. Email us anything you want. I mean, even if it's like personal questions, if you want to know what the hell we ate for breakfast or, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, we want to hear from you. We want to know what you're saying. And obviously we didn't ask for any Gamesman checks this week, but as soon as the new show comes back, we will be back to asking for those, so you can put those in. But I think you guys have anything else. I think it's time to close this show out.
I think so too. What do you think, Simon?
Hey, once again, bmitv.com, couchmercenaries.com. Check us out, man. If you enjoyed our, you know, I mean, let's be honest, if you enjoyed our erotic and just soothing voices, found yourself at work listening to these voices and saying, oh my God, this is so soothing, you know.
And imagining you were Zevran.
Exactly, yeah. Check out our shows and, hey, you know, just get ready to pick sides for this huge tournament. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, Steve.
Until next time, I can't wait to be on again.
Yeah, we'll do it soon, I promise.
Cool.
All right, so that's going to do it for episode 26 of The Gamesman. On behalf of Big Smooth 8 and Simon D.I., I am Lifelike, we are The Gamesman, and until next time, we ask,
what role will you play?
like Assassin's Creed Chronicles of, you know, some Greek guy or something.